Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Zoom.
Hey everyone, my name is Peter. I'm an alcoholic.
Peter.
Hi. It's nice to be here with you tonight. TK, what an honor. What an honor to be asked to speak at a meeting like this with people like all of you. It truly is. I've done this work as it's outlined in the Big Book with a Big Book Step Study sponsor, a powerful, kind, loving, and forgiving God. I've completed my 9-step amends, and I apply the principles that I learn from this work in my life on a daily basis, which allows me to practice 10, 11, and 12 as consistently as I possibly can. You know, I never really know where to start when we talk about a step like this, because so much of this is a personal practice, right? So I think tonight what I want to do is, when I first got to AA, they told me it was a spiritual program, not a religious program. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand that. Anytime I ever heard the word God in my life, it was immediately associated with religion, which I didn't really have an issue with. But I didn't have an issue with it, right? And what I mean by that is I wasn't turned off by religion. I just didn't practice religion, though I was raised of a religion, but we didn't really practice it. And so there's my first hiccup, is coming to terms with learning about what spirituality is versus what religion is. And really, a lot of what we do in this step is impacted by what we learn in the first two steps, right? And what we learn in the first two steps is all based on a conversation that I'm having with my sponsor and with other people in AA, and I'm learning what their experiences are, and I'm learning what their beliefs are, because I don't really have one. And so it's those steps that identify what I need to be able to do to live the life that I'm going to get to live. But in those two steps, they don't tell me how to do it. It's really just like powerless, unmanageable, came to believe, right? But how? And so I start to really get an impression of what I'm going to need to do as I enter this work, as I enter the 12 steps. And thank God for good sponsorship and really strong meetings and guys and women that I could, you know, just grab their coattails and let them pull me along until I could get up on the skis myself, so to speak. And that happened incrementally over a period of time. And what's beautiful, from my perspective, is it's still happening incrementally, right? We're going to go pages now, okay? On page 50, at the bottom of the page, for those of you that care, it introduces this idea where they say, thousands of men and women, worldly indeed, flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude towards that power. How many times do you think the word attitude appears in the first 64 pages of this book? I'm going to tell you that it's somewhere between 22 and 25, depending on how good your abacus is. So if a word like that appears that many times, there's a reason for that. So here it tells me I have to have a certain attitude, right? A certain attitude toward that power. What is that power? That power is God. That's eventually what I'm going to come to terms with here. I'm going to build a relationship with a God of my understanding. But I can't do that if I have a bad attitude. I have to have a certain attitude, right? Because I came in here probably with a bad attitude to some extent, because I thought I could run the show. I thought I could figure it out. You know, my journey was about using up every good idea I ever had to figure out a way that I could keep drinking and shooting dope and whatever else I was doing. to using up every bad idea that I could come up with, right? Because my attitude was one of self-reliance, right? I was filled with self-reliance. And what's really poignant for me is when we get to the reading on page 72, which is the beginning of the fifth step, it tells us this: having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude. So now we went from certain attitude to new attitude. I need to have a new attitude. I have to have a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator to discover the obstacles in my path. So this is all about willingness. This is all about transformation of how I think, of how I act. And then we get to tonight's reading. We're on the top of 86. It says, it works if we have the proper attitude. So certain, new, proper, right? And for me, that's really meaningful. It wasn't always, but it's become really meaningful. And so I have to come into this with a proper attitude for it to really work. For me to take advantage of what we learn here and what is taught here and what the book outlines for us, I have to have an attitude. And right, proper, certain, new, the real attitude is an attitude of willingness. And the real attitude is a willing of open-mindedness, right? Which are two of the three essentials that are outlined in the spiritual experience in the appendices. So I would like to tell you this, and this is like my badge of honor, okay? My badge of honor is every night before I go to bed with my wife, we read step 11. And every morning when we wake up, we read the part that says on awakening. And it's a really beautiful and loving experience, and it brings us really closer. But if that's all I did, it would never be enough, right? Like, hey, I read the 11th step with my wife every day. Look at me, right? But that's not really what helps. What helps is how do I carry it forward throughout the day? What am I doing? There's a woman I think on this meeting somewhere back in the 90s. She got one of those Timex watches that used to beep on the hour every hour. And she would say, it's the God beep. It's the God beep. Right? And so what do I do? Right? It tells us that step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. When I was first coming around, there were all these guys going to the meditation center and Cambridge, and I said to my sponsor, should I do that? I want to do that. And he goes, you should write your fourth step. when I was done writing my fourth step and reading my fifth step, I said to him, can I go now? And he goes, yeah, go learn something about meditation, because you don't know anything about meditation. And he was great. Earlier in the book, it tells us that deep down inside every man, woman, and child, and I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing, is the fundamental idea of God. My belief is that 4 and 5 is what gets all the crap out of the way so God can rise from within. God can break through that cement floor that I've created through hate and anger and jealousy and envy and resentment and fear, and come and rise into my heart. And that's a beautiful idea, but the real trick is, how do I get God from my heart to my mind? Right? In step 10, it tells us that we have to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I believe that. I have to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I'll also tell you that my sponsor, when I started writing my fourth step turnaround, said, Peter, you should start reading 84 to 88 every day. I said, okay. So that was, I don't know, 30 years ago. And he's yet to call me up and say, hey, Peter, you don't have to read that anymore. Which to me means that I have to continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And how do I do that? I do that through diligence, through discipline, through a daily practice, which starts with when we retire at night. And there's 11 questions there that I answer. And most of the time it's like, were you resentful? No. Selfish? Probably. How was I selfish? Well, I was thinking about just getting what I needed to get done today. I didn't consider anyone else. That's not bad selfishness, but it's selfishness, right? Professionally, I'm just trying to get my job done. So I go through those questions. And really what I'm looking for is the alcoholic version of the answer, right? The one that takes me down the spiral, right? And if I walk away clean, then I feel like I've had a pretty good day. Where it says, what could we have done better? I can tell you right away what I can do better every day. What I can do better every day is this. I can sort through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. So what could I do better? I can improve my conscious contact with God as we understood him. And what else can I do better? I can pray only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. So when I ask myself that question, what could I do better? Everything. There's always room for spiritual growth. There's always room for treating people better. There's always room for listening better. There's always room for a longer pause. There's always room to recognize people don't necessarily want my opinion. Right? Those are the things that I could do better because those come up. I come into life with preconceived ideas, with prejudices that interfere with my ability to be the best version of me I could be. That's why I need God. That's why I need to ask those questions before I go to bed. And what can I do? I can wake up in the morning and I can say, let's think about the 24 hours ahead. What do we got going? What's happening today? I know, close my eyes. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to feed the dog. I'm going to eat breakfast. Maybe I'll get to the gym. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work as hard as I feel like, not necessarily as hard as I can. I'm going to call my wife a couple of times because I love her. I'm going to talk to a couple of people, right? Like, I know the rote thing. What's the 24 hours look like? But that never takes into consideration the guy in the center lane that pulls over into the right lane in front of me and slows down. And I get annoyed and I think to myself, really, God, what am I supposed to learn to you? You want me to slow down? Okay, God, I'll get in the middle lane. I'm going in the middle lane, I'm going slower than I was. And all of a sudden, I find myself back in the left-hand lane going 78 miles an hour, and a different car, a different color, a different driver moves from the middle lane to the left-hand lane. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I better slow down. So I have to not think about what I know is going to happen. I have to prepare for what I don't know is going to happen. I don't know that my stepson's going to call his mom and say, I got in an argument with an Uber driver and really scared my girlfriend and she broke up with me. And now my wife's really upset and she's afraid for him. I'm not prepared for that. And why am I not prepared for that? Because I think I know. I think I know. Where does self-reliance fail me? It fails me everywhere, especially in my spiritual practice. The idea here to pause is so important, but it's also seeking inspiration and intuitive thought or a decision. I don't have an answer for her, but I can listen to her. I can say, hey, let's say the third step prayer. Let's kind of tone it down a little bit. Let's understand that you're feeling helpless. I'm not prepared for that, but if I pause, I can get there pretty quickly. And, you know, this idea that we ask that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems, we ask especially for freedom from self-will. and we're careful to make no requests for ourselves. I haven't requested anything for myself, or for anyone else, because I don't know what God has in store for anyone. I have a friend who's sick. I don't pray for my friend. I pray for his doctors, right? That they're having a good day, that they're on top of their game. This idea of becoming much more efficient about how we apply this in our lives that allows us to become much more efficient means I'm not distracted. It means I'm able to be present for you when you're speaking to me, and for you when I'm listening to what you're saying, and able to respond in a way that's helpful. My obligation to my recovery and to this program is to be of maximum service to God and my fellows, all of my fellows in AA and outside of AA. And this thing that Mark read, it works, it really does. I can tell you that it really does. You know, I was the guy that lived in the brown box, that was stealing purses, that was, you know, the end of my drinking and using was a bottom. And that I've been able to create through God and through God's will for me the life that I have today. It's pretty miraculous, right? They used to say, the old timers would say things like, you have to change the person you brought in here. And I would think to myself, if I could effing change the person I brought in here, I wouldn't have to be here, right? They used to say things like, we're uncomfortable in our own skin. Hell yeah, I'm restless, I'm irritable, I'm discontent. I'm uncomfortable in my own skin without God. It causes me to doubt myself when I'm without God. When I'm with God, it's pretty smooth sailing. So I don't know how long I've been going. It's probably too long. And so what I want to say to everybody is this. If you have a problem with alcohol and you want to do more than stop drinking, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. And if you're writing, as Big Lou used to say in Somerville, if you double your effort, you'll be finished twice as fast. And if you're on the other side of this work and you're struggling, which happens often to a lot of people, tell someone, open yourself up, be vulnerable, be available. Let us know, because we can't help you if you don't tell us. And most of the time we know before you tell us, right? And remember, the most important thing we can do is put our hand out to the sick and suffering alcoholic. That's the most important thing we do. And we can't do that if we're not practicing this. If we're not living in 10 and 11, if we're not doing step 11, how can we possibly help another human being that suffers from alcoholism? It's a tall order. It's a tall order. We got to be really grounded to do that. TK, dude, thank you so much. You made my night. Everybody, you've been so kind and so warm and so attentive. I can't think of how to thank you other than to say thank you. God bless.